Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Euskaltel's conference call. The management of Euskaltel will run you through the presentation, which will be followed by the Q&A session. We will accept five questions. You can ask a question by phone by pressing 01 on your telephone keypad. I'm now pleased to introduce Mr. Fernando Ojeda, CEO of Euskaltel. Please, sir, go ahead.
Good morning to everyone. Many thanks for being with us today. It's a pleasure to speak again to present our first quarter results ended in March this year. So we can start on page one, where we summarize what we believe are the key highlights achieved by Euskaltel during this first quarter of the year. As the first point, I would like to remark that we're pleased to announce that we reached an inflection point in residential subs, growing by 1,500 subs versus previous quarter, both in fixed and mobile. And more importantly, we increased the penetration of high-value products in our new customers, meaning that more than 80% of gross adds in the quarter are acquiring triple and quadruple play bundles. Secondly, we have achieved a solid growth in RGUs of more than 153,000. This means plus 9.1% year-on-year, particularly with a strong momentum in TV. We have added more than 30,000 new TV customers comparing to the same quarter last year. As a third point, our mobile penetration in residential reached almost 74% of our fixed subscriber base, increasing our mobile lines by 115,000 in 1 year. The success of our mobility strategy has favored customer loyalty, leading to a churn reduction down to 13.5%. The fourth point, we managed to grow residential ARPU to 57.6 euros, meaning plus 2.4 euros versus last year and plus 1.6 euros in the quarter. Five, our efficient operations have driven gross margin up to 75.9. This is 300 basis points versus last year on a comparable basis. Six, all this leads into a strong EBITDA performance, plus 9.3% versus last year and a margin expansion to almost 49%, 48.6%. Seven, Euskaltel maintains its superior cash conversion rate, currently at 69% after consolidating our cable. And finally, just a few remarks on synergies. The execution plan of the integration is fully on track, with more than 22 projects under implementation, with savings yet to crystallize in the quarters to come. For instance, we expect to complete our cable mobile subscriber migration to Euskaltel host contract by the end of this year. We are convinced that the announced targets are fully achievable within the stated time frame. So, moving on to the next pages, we enter into the details of the business performance during the first quarter of the year. Firstly, I would like to highlight that unless otherwise stated, Q1 16 information shown in this section refers to the data consolidating the first full quarter of Euskaltel and our cable. Where appropriate, the pro forma including Q1 2015 non-audited contribution of our cable is added to help on comparability purposes. So if we go to page 3, you can see a summary of the reported financial information. We will analyze all the key items in detail in the coming slides, so let me just jump to page 4. On page 4, you can find a summary overview of reported results compared with those of last quarter and last year. Our total revenue grew by 35.5 in the first quarter, up to 142 million euros. As you can see in the chart in the middle, EBITDA was 69 million euros. Our EBITDA margin has reached 48.6%, including our cable. On the right-hand side, you can see that our cash flow stood at 47 million, resulting in a conversion rate of 68.7. On page 5, we present the split of revenue and EBITDA growth on a comparable basis. The left-hand chart illustrates revenue performance in the last year, which has been mainly supported by the strong growth in the residential segment, +4.7% year-on-year, on the back of increased number of RGUs, +19%, an ARPU improvement of €2.4. The business segment has also contributed positively, representing a 1.4% annual growth also on a comparable basis. The €1.5 million reduction in other and adjustments reflects the reduction of profit-neutral activities from the income statement. Similarly, on the right-hand chart, we can see the EBITDA performance on a comparable basis. The revenue growth has contributed €1.5 million of EBITDA increase versus last year. Our focus on direct costs has contributed €4.4 million to EBITDA, with a reduction of 9.4% versus last year. Additionally, a reduction in commercial and fixed costs has resulted in savings of €0.1 million. As a result of this, the comparable EBITDA grew by €5.9 million in the last year, representing a substantial increase of over 9%, 9.3%. The comparable EBITDA margin grew from 45.3% to  48.6%. So, if we move to page six, we can see the evolution of the residential segment in more detail. Our consolidated subscriber base reached 547,000 customers at the end of the quarter. Our gross additions in the quarter were 16,000 subs, representing 3,000 more than the first quarter of 2015. More importantly, the quarterly evolution proves an inflection point, gaining 1,500 net subs versus year-end. Out of this net growth in residential subscribers, 200 were in fixed subs, compared to the 5,400 decline in the second half of last year. As anticipated before, our strategy has been focused on providing high-value products to our customers. In this context, we can proudly say that 81% of the new customers have acquired triple or quadruple play bundles versus 72% a year ago, and 60% of these new customers acquired TV services. So if we move to page 7, we can give you a bit more detail on the performance of our TV business. We experienced a strong performance in the number of TV RGUs, which increased by 30,000 year-on-year. This is a 13.4% increase, and by 7,000 in the last quarter. That means a 2.6% increase over the last quarter. As mentioned before, 60% of our new customers acquired TV services, leading TV penetration to increase to 52% versus 45% 1 year ago. Our strategy, based on high-value TV functionalities as network PVR, VOD, Startover, and premium content, including Canal Plus series and Canal Plus estrenos, has driven increase in customer intake and customer satisfaction. Going forward, our approach will remain disciplined in content investment, focused on customer value and subject to prevailing market conditions. Turning to slide 8, you will see that our successful mobility and bundling strategy is driving our healthy ARPU growth. If we take a look at the first chart on the left, you will see that our mobility strategy resulted in more than 115,000 new mobile lines. This is a 19% increase year on year. As of today, 74% of our fixed customers have at least one mobile phone with Euskaltel. In addition, data transmitted over our outdoor Wi-Fi network was equivalent to more than 20% of the total traffic on mobility, providing superior customer experience. The chart in the middle shows that Euskaltel bundling strategy continues to deliver sustained growth in RGUs per sub, reaching 3.4, and triple and quadruple play penetration of 64.3%. Finally, as a consequence of all of this, our increasing mobile penetration and bundling strategy, with upselling linked to an improved value offer to our customers, have driven ARPU growth to €57.8 in the quarter, implying a 2.4 increase in euros or 4.4% growth versus previous year. Turning now to page number 9. As a result of the levers mentioned before, we have managed to reduce our churn rate to 13.5%. This is 1.3 percentage points lower versus previous quarter, proving our strong competitive position. In summary, the key pillars driving our low churn rates continues to be our bundling strategy focused on high-value proposition adapted to each customer segment. This is resulting in increased penetration of bundles with lower churn rates. And also our full mobility strategy in the home and outdoor, which has proven as a key element for an improved customer experience and loyalty. On page 10, let's focus on the business segment and its stabilization. Business revenue grew by 1.4% annually on a like-for-like basis. Our strategy continues to be focused on proximity and penetration of new value-added services such as cloud, hosting, and cybersecurity products to generate further revenue growth. If we zoom, and we can see it on the right, zooming into SOHO, which represents, by the way, 40% of our total business revenue, this subsegment has experienced a strong performance in line with residential, increasing like-for-like annual revenue by 3.4%. And compared to previous quarter, 0.6%, on the back of a 4.1% ARPU improvement. Turning to page 11, the chart on the left hand illustrates the evolution of our cost structure, which was reduced by 3% on a comparable basis. This was mainly driven by a 9.4% decline in direct costs on the back of savings in interconnection costs, optimization of handset purchasing, and the decision not to acquire football content. As a result, gross margin improved to 75.9%, and EBITDA increased by 5.9 million, plus 9.3%, on a like-for-like basis, and EBITDA margin reached 48.6%. This is 300 basis points on a like-for-like basis, and 120 basis points versus Euskaltel standalone in the previous year. Let's move to page 12. The left-hand side illustrates the CAPEX evolution. Efforts have been focused on making our cable CAPEX converge to Euskaltel's level. In this context, CAPEX in our cable was reduced from 29.1% of revenue in December 2015 to 20% in the first quarter of 2016. Overall, total CAPEX as percentage of revenue stood around 15% as targeted. On the right-hand side, you can see the evolution of the operating cash flow, which has strongly performed in both companies, raising previous levels. Conversion rate stood at 77% versus 56% in Q4 15 for Euskaltel standalone, and at 57% versus 45% in Q4 2015 for R-Cable standalone. On a consolidated basis, operating cash flow for the quarter stood at €47 million, representing a conversion of 69% in line with our targets. Moving to page 13, you can see that leverage was reduced to 4.9 times at the end of Q1 16. As mentioned before, we generated an operating cash flow of €47 million in the quarter. The cash flow generation of the quarter has been affected by both business seasonality and one-off elements. With respect to seasonality, working capital consumption of around €16 million is in line with historical trends for the first quarter. As an example, Euskaltel standalone, €10 million on Q1 2015 and Q1 2014, and this consumption is generally reverted in the following quarters of the year. Extraordinary elements are transaction costs related to acquisition of our cable, around €14 million. Payment of financial interest amounted to €12 million in line with our estimates. So overall, we are confident to generate at least $120 million of cash by the end of the year, which will result in the leverage ratio standing below 4.5 times EBITDA, thus allowing for the first distribution to shareholders in 2017. So in summary, we have experienced a solid revenue performance driven by ARPU improvement and inflection point in residential subscriber growth. Our TV and mobile strategies are proving to be successful, supporting product penetration and churn reduction. We are focused on cost control and efficient management of operations, and as a result of the above, we achieved strong EBITDA growth and margin enhancement. This, jointly with a disciplined CapEx policy, is strengthening our operation cash flow, our operating cash flow conversion. The integration of our cable is on track with synergies in line with our plan, and most of the benefits will start to be reflected in the financial results in the second part of the year. So thank you very much, everyone, for attending the call. My presentation is over, and we're happy to take some questions. So please, go ahead.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. The Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Please be informed that in order to ensure audio quality, we request that all your questions are asked from landlines. Thank you. We have a first question from Nuno Matias, Hayton Bank. Please, sir, go ahead.
Hi, good morning. A couple of questions for me, please. Firstly, in your residential customer base, you managed to stabilize it in Q1. What can you tell us about how Q2 is going? We are approaching the end of April. Are you seeing the same trends in terms of the stabilization of the customer base there? Secondly, in terms of your profitability, you are approaching almost 49% of EBT margin. As you said, there are still a lot of savings that should impact the P&L given the integration of Aircable. Is it case for us to think that you'll be able to exceed the 50% margin level, perhaps not this year, but next year once the synergies execution will be much more visible? Thank you.
Thank you for your questions. With regards to the residential customer stabilization, coming from the numbers from last year, as we said, where we were losing 5,000 customers, the fact that we are right now stable and slightly growing even in fix, I think that's good news. We still have work to do. The trend in April is very similar to what we had seen in the Q1, so there's no significant changes. So we continue on that stabilization, and we will see the rest of the year, but at least we believe that we have stabilized our customer base and we will slightly grow in customer numbers. With regards to profitability, the 49%, I mean, I think we've stated continuously in all our calls and roadshows that medium term this company should be on that 50%, around that 50%, trying to be among the best in class in Europe. By being now on this 49%, once we've integrated our cable and with the integration synergies still most of them to come, we confirm that we will in the next years we will be around that 50% that we think it's a healthy top in class EBITDA margin.
Okay, thank you.
We have a question from Yvonne Lial, BBVA. Please, sir, go ahead.
Yes, hello, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Fernando. Maybe two, three questions. The first one relating to the direct costs, okay, and the evolution. I guess you've decreased direct costs in the first quarter by like 3.5 million euros. I guess that's all stemming from lower football cost. Is that true or not? And I don't know if you could share with us again how the MVNO costs are performing, okay, through the first quarter of the year, and when you expect to start offloading some mobile traffic to your network.
Okay. So answering your questions. Direct cost, you're right with that reduction, around 3.3 million. That's not all coming from football, obviously. In fact, we stopped football in August last year, so really the part that comes from football is the part relating to September, October, November, December. So it's not the whole saving of the whole football cost. So the football cost saving would be around half, probably more or less around half of that number. The other big part, or almost all the rest, comes from the new or the renegotiation of the contract that we had with our cable with Vodafone as a host. Vodafone continues as a host during this year while we do the transition, but we renegotiated prices with Vodafone for our cable, so we get some synergies there. And also, we are also benefiting from the competitive contract that we have in Orange in Euskaltel in the Basque region. As a reminder, it's a contract that every year has a rebate and a discount, so we benefit compared to previous year of competitive reduction in prices. So that would be the summary of the reduction in direct costs. And then there's some coming from our acquisition of handsets. But the most of them come, half of it more or less from football, and the other half more or less from the host, both in Galicia and in the Basque region. In terms of mobile traffic offload, we have just set up our first 10 sites. We're just beginning to migrate our customers onto that network. It's still early to have any numbers, but we will see in the second half of the year, we'll start seeing offload, but it won't be in a significant number. First, for the fact that we only have, or we have, 60,000 customers on 4G, so this is only for 4G customers. And then the number of sites that we'll have this year go from the 10 sites that we have just started right now till around 80, between 80 and 100 at the end of the year. So we will start seeing the effect for sure in the first quarter of next year. This year is still too early because of the low or reduced weight of the 4G customers, and then the number of sites rollout will be towards the end of the year.
Because, Fernando, the mobile network was originally planned for the Basque region, and I don't recall if you're planning also to roll out on Galicia.
Yes, we're planning. We're planning to roll out in Galicia. We're preparing the plan. We will use the same core that we have in Bilbao, so we don't have to reinvest in the core. The only thing is we're finalizing the study of the number of sites that we need. We have explained that in the Basque region, with 300 sites, we'll be able to offload between 25%-35% of the 4G traffic, and we're trying to do the same number for Galicia to understand how many sites we need there to offload more or less the same amount of traffic. The reality in Galicia, let's put it this way, the geography in Galicia is different from the geography in the Basque region. We have to see where the data traffic is currently happening in order to determine how many sites we will need. But it won't be a number over the 300, obviously.
Okay, maybe the second set of questions relating to Errecable. You've just said on the presentation that you're expecting CapEx on Errecable to tend to Euskaltel standalone levels. I guess you're meaning to the 47 million euros that you posted in Euskaltel last year. That's maybe the target also for Errecable. And maybe just a quick word on I was a bit surprised on the -1% EBITDA Errecable posted on 2015. Okay, I don't know if you could share with us the reasons for that and why we're gonna see a turnaround on 2016 and going forward.
Sorry, I didn't get your second question.
The second question is, when you reported the 2015 numbers for Errecable,
yeah.
I saw EBITDA was -1%, which was a bit surprised on that. So, I don't know what were the reasons for that decline in EBITDA in Errecable, and what eventually is going to drive the turnaround in the region?
I'll try to find out that -1%.
Okay.
Because I don't relate to it. I don't know where
Okay.
Where you get it from. With regards to CapEx at the end, I mean, as the integration goes along, the CapEx is going to be less on our or Euskaltel, because at the end it's the CapEx of the company. We are going to do one investment for the whole company normally, and we are going to be very strict on CapEx. We are renegotiating with suppliers. We are so the CapEx at the end will be around 90 million. Around 90 million on the year, and we continue with our target of healthy capex for a cable company fully deployed like ours should be around 15% of revenues. So that's where we stand on capex, and it's looking good. An example I gave you of the 4G network, we're going to use the core that we already have invested here, and the same happens with many areas where we have two TV platforms or two mobile platforms, at the end they will merge into one, so the capex in terms of maintenance or the capex in terms of renewal of the platforms is obviously going to go down. So we will look at the whole capex, and as I tell you, this year will be around 90 million euros.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thanks so much, Fernando.
Thank you.
The next question is from Akhil Dattani, JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Pricing. You raised prices beginning of this year across your footprint in both the regions. But if I look at your relative prices versus your peers, you still seem to be pricing at a bit of a discount to both Telefónica and Vodafone. So I guess first I just wanted to understand if you agree with that. And in that context, how do you think about the scope to do further price increases through the course of this year? Secondly, it was just on content. Fernando, you mentioned earlier the thought process around choosing not to take the football rights for the current season. But obviously there have been a lot of developments since then in terms of the agreement MediaPro signed. So I just wondered in that context if you could just comment on how you think about the merits of potentially taking a more active role in the content space going forward, how we think about timing and kind of key elements within that. And then very finally, just on the dividend, you mentioned that in 2017, you would start distributions on the back of 2016. I'm not sure if it's too early to ask, but directionally, could you at least help us understand how you think about that? Is it linked to earnings? Is it linked to cash? Or you know, what are the metrics in terms of how you think about your distribution policy? Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you for the question. Price increases. We haven't increased prices, okay? What we're giving is higher value products to our customers, and they're paying more for it. So we don't increase prices to our customer base. We give them more data, higher speeds, more TV content, and obviously they pay more money for that, just to make sure that the message doesn't get out there that we're increasing prices, because that's not our strategy. Our strategy is to give more value to the customer. The price per gigabyte, the price per kilogram of TV channel is going down, but we are getting higher ARPU. Our competition in terms of comparable in terms of ARPU and pricing should be Telefónica, since they are the ones that have a similar network to us. They have a fiber network. Orange and Vodafone, they compete with cheaper prices, since they are on DSL in our regions, and they have to be much more aggressive. So we take them in consideration. We suffer their competition, but our competition is Telefónica. In the first quarter of this year, and we follow carefully where do our customers go to and where do they come from, on portabilities, on fixed, we are gaining customers versus Telefónica. So our decision in terms of not taking football, and understanding that Telefónica has football, and also Telefónica has almost rolled out fiber in all the major cities in both Galicia and in the Basque region. On the back of that, we're gaining customers from Telefónica. On the back of that, we're reducing churn. So we feel comfortable with our current pricing that, in effect, is slightly under the Telefónica pricing, obviously because they have the football content that's much more expensive. But in terms of acquiring customers, they've been very aggressive in terms of one-year heavy promotions that we took away a year ago. If you really want a low price for 1 year, you can go to Telefónica, but after 1 year, the price goes up, and as you state, we are slightly under they are. We think we still have breathing space and margin to get more value out of our customers, but obviously giving them more services. We will see how things go. We don't have to pay for the football costs, so we don't have that pressure on our P&L, that need to increase prices to the whole customer base. So we feel that we're in a good position there to make the right decisions for the company without jeopardizing our customer base. How do we see football? And I'm a football fan and I love football. Well, we see it as a nice content, very expensive. We decided last season not to take football because the price, the cost for football almost multiplied by three. The new deal that Mediapro proposed to us was a three-year deal that we answered that we were interested in certain terms and conditions. We didn't reach an agreement. Basically and roughly, the cost of football for the next 3 years is going to increase around 20-25%. So the numbers are even more clear than they were for us in the past. The decision for us is the right decision. We've added 30,000 new TV customers without football. The question would be, you would have football, how many more customers would you add? I don't think we would add many more. So we feel comfortable with that. And we are firm believers that in the future, that means after August this year, for the next three seasons, our customers will be able to reach football content through any or through an OTT platform. And we will help them to do that in a way that they can watch football and we don't have that kind of cost. The OTT rights have still not been sold to anyone by Mediapro, and I assume that will happen during the next month. So in any case, we are comfortable with our decision and we believe that our customers, if they wish in the future, they will be able to watch football if they want to watch it through an OTT provider. With regards to the dividend, the comments that we made, John Ander, if you want to...
Okay, good morning. As you know, our shareholder distribution policy will be linked to an efficient capital structure with target leverage between 3 and 4 times. We plan to end the year with our leverage below 4.5 times, excluding synergies, thus allowing us to start distributing the excess cash to our shareholders through ordinary dividends in 2017. Our idea, but we must get the approval of the shareholders. We are aiming to have a 100 payout ratio in 2017 on the back of 2016 net income. And related to the cash situation, obviously, as Fernando have explained during the presentation, this quarter has been affected by seasonality and one-off elements, and we were budgeting those situations for this first quarter in terms of working capital is in line with the previous quarter Euskaltel standalone, and in that sense we must consider that in this first quarter we have all the payments of bonus, variable salaries and those type of things. We have incremental suppliers, investment suppliers credits in the last quarter of the different years, and for us is relevant, and we think that we are going to be in the range of our forecast without any problem.
Very clear, thank you.
The next question is from Fernando Cordero, Banco Santander. Please, go ahead.
Good morning. I have three questions. The first one is related with the customer performance, and if you can give us some color on what has been the performance in your two different regions, in the sense that it seems that the Basque Country customer base has been the one more affected by the football cost in the previous quarters and performing worse than Galician. I want to know if the if that customer base has turned around more or not. Just basically to understand the dynamics. Second thing is regarding your net debt target at the end of the year, 1.24 billion euros net debt. It implies that, assuming that you're looking for a less than 4.5 times net debt EBITDA, the floor for your EBITDA in this year, 2016, to be 275 million euros. That is at the end, just making the number. And you also have said that you are maintaining your 50% EBITDA margin target going forward or for the coming years or in the long term. My point here is that you have changed your accounting criteria regarding the non-profit revenues that at the end is implicitly increasing your EBITDA margin by close to 100 basis points. Does it mean that in a like-for-like basis, your EBITDA margin long-term is going to be more than 51%? Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you for the questions. First, customer performance. Fixed customers, more or less roughly plus 200. The performance in Euskaltel is better than in Galicia. So Euskaltel is adding more net customers than in Galicia. So the number is even better going into the detail, as you say, because last year Euskaltel was, for the last 3 years, we were losing net fixed customers while Galicia was gaining, and the turnaround has come especially from Euskaltel. So that would be the answer to that first question. So in terms of net adds, Euskaltel now is the region that is driving the growth in fixed customers. With regards to the net debt, your number is totally correct. I mean, we are aiming and targeting roughly around that number in terms of EBITDA for the year. So that would be a safe, reasonable projection, those 275 million. And in terms of the EBITDA margin, I mean, it's not a change in accounting criteria. Let's make it clear. I'll talk now about the impact on margin, but it consists on non-profit, non-related to the activity, so it's not a commercial activity-related revenue with no margin. I'll give you 95% of it comes basically from supplies we were invoicing our installers that then we would take out of the cost for the same amount. So we've taken out of our accounting the invoicing of spare parts and all kind of cable and all kind of installation needs that the installers have that before invoicing and taking out, and it doesn't relate to the business. For example, we have some other let's say revenues coming, for example, with no margin, like handsets, but those continue in our numbers because we believe that handsets that we sell to our customers are related to the business and our revenues that should continue even though they are revenues without margin. So it's not so much a change of criteria, it's just making sure that the revenues reflect the revenues of the business of the company. You're right. This has had a positive impact of around, let's say, 0.9% on the margin increase. And you're right, looking forward, that should be something that should be over that 50%. So looking forward, which would be the EBITDA margin of this company in the next years, should be closer to 51 than 250.
Very clear, Fernando. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question is from Georgios Tsivikonis, Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi, I've got a couple of questions. The first one around our cable. When I look at last year's EBITDA trend, the first and second quarters were relatively weak year on year versus the 2014 numbers. So I was just wondering whether there were any special factors that made the first half of last year a bit weaker on the margin at that part of the business, or whether the comparisons we're seeing already from the first quarter are representative of the rest of the year. My second question is just a clarification. You mentioned earlier that your performance versus Telefonica has improved and is still positive. I was wondering whether you could give us a bit of color regarding the behavior of the other two. Is Orange more active than Vodafone, or have they been a bit more aggressive because of the ADSL exposure? And then perhaps a final clarification from Jolander around the dividend. Is the 100% payout ratio on reported net income or adjusted, in case you have any exceptionals or other charges that may be non-cash or one-off in nature? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your question, your questions. So the first one around our cable EBITDA in the first 2 quarters of last year, it wasn't our business, and I don't have an answer for that flat evolution of EBITDA in the first half of last year. So I'm sorry there, I can't help you. The second question around the residential performance. In effect, we are gaining net customers versus Telefonica, despite their almost total fiber rollout in the main cities and their football. But we have a customer net loss versus Orange and Vodafone. They are being very aggressive on the ADSL side. And we don't follow those aggressive prices on the lower end of the market with customers that are really almost professional churners. But Orange and Vodafone are being very aggressive. Both of them are being aggressive on the DSL side. So that would be the answer to that one. And the third one, Jolander.
Related to the dividend, the payout will be based in the reporting net income, considering that we have to use 10% of this net income to cover of legal reserves. And in that sense, the real figure will be the 90% over the report net income.
Thank you.
Last question is from Giovanni Montalti, UBS. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Fernando. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for the question. Fernando, on fiber coverage, you were pointing at the fact that Telefonica has covered almost entirely the main cities in the Basque Country. Can you give us a bit more, let's say, data on the fiber coverage of TEF, Voda, and Orange, both in the Basque Countries and in Galicia, please? Thank you.
Yeah, the last official number from the CMC about Telefónica in the Basque Country is 67% of coverage of the Basque households, and that going down into the main cities, that's all over 80%. So we have almost 80% overlap in the main cities in the Basque region. So basically, I mean, they've already deployed all what they had to deploy, so we're already competing head-to-head with Telefonica, and as we said before, we're competing well with the churn reduction and no net loss versus Telefonica, on the contrary. In Galicia, due to the dispersion of the population, the coverage of Telefonica is lower, is just over 55%, and the overlap with us there is also slightly lower in the main cities. With regards to Vodafone and Orange, they don't have any significant deployment activity in the Basque region. So they have announced several times, and they have announced that they were going to start in some small towns and so on, but they haven't done anything. So in the Basque Country, there is no fiber from Vodafone and Orange in a significant way. On the contrary, in Galicia, in Vigo, there is a strong rollout of Vodafone. They have rolled out Vigo. So in Vigo, we are competing. We have three networks competing. One is TEF, the other one is Vodafone, and the other one is ours, our cable. And we are competing head to head there with fiber and with cable.
Okay, but nothing from Orange in Galicia?
No.
Sorry, if I may follow up on a few points that have been touched before. On the fixed line losses, just looking at the fix, you have done 200 net adds this quarter. It's still, let's say, a relatively small number. How confident are you to be able to keep this trend going forward during the year, especially considering that in, let's say, Q3 and Q4, with the new season, I would expect Voda, Orange and Telefonica to be aggressive again in launching, let's say, packages with big discounts. And also on the EBITDA, the, let's say, broad target we indicated implies 9 million of growth versus the pro forma of last year. You have done 6 million of growth in Q1, so this implies, let's say, an extra 3 million of growth for the rest of the year. Is this, let's say, I mean, do you agree with this, Matt?
Yeah, let's start with the net adds. I mean, we expect to continue to slightly improve the trend on net adds. We are seeing an improvement in our in churn numbers. Our commercial teams are adding 25% more customers that they were capturing a year ago, and that trend we expect to continue. Understanding that Q2 will be difficult, the comparison with Q2 last year, because as you may remember, last year in Q2, Telefonica did the 5 euro increase in pricing, and then they had the strike on the installers, and that gave us all very good net numbers that were reverted later in Q3. So understanding that comparison will be difficult, we expect our trend to continue to slightly improve. We continue acquiring customers in April, we're seeing it, and churn is very well much under control. Our customers are not valuing or missing football. I understand that football is very sexy to talk about, but I would prefer to talk about what our customers do on the street, and that's using our Wi-Fi services. We have almost 1.8 mobile lines per household, per fixed household that has a mobile service with us, and they are using Wi-Fi on the streets. 20% of all the data traffic or mobility is done through our Wi-Fi on the street network, and that is much more sticky, much more valuable than the possibility to watch one football match of your team every 2 or every 3 weeks. So for us, TV is around functionalities. TV is around watching on your TV the most wanted channels. That's the free-to-air channels plus series and premium movies that we acquire the channel. We have the channel from Telefónica, the same channel, Canal Plus Series and Canal Plus Estrenos. We have it on our TV offer, and that's what people watch, movies, series and free-to-air, and Wi-Fi on the streets. So for us, we don't see a risk. Obviously, this is a business. This is not easy. We have to fight every day for customers, but we see, rolling forward, we see that we will continue adding customers in a respectful number.
Sorry, Fernando, to interrupt, if I may, just on this point that you were making, it's not just a matter of football. I mean, Euskaltel was losing a significant number of fixed subscribers even in the past when there was no issue with the football. So, I mean, you're absolutely right in what you're pointing at. So I guess this was mainly due to erosion of the voice-only customers, or that you still have a significant portion of voice-only customers. How's going the trend there? Have you stabilized the portion of the losses that are coming from voice-only?
No, I wouldn't say that they were coming from voice-only. Obviously, each customer segment has a different churn. If they have mobile, the churn is three times less. But what we learned, I think we explained it several times last year, was that we changed our commercial policy. Almost one-third of our churn in the past, even having football, was coming from customers that were leaving or ending a one-year aggressive promotion. So in the past, we used to acquire customers with a very strong rebate or discount for 1 year. And after that year, when the prices went up, customers would call and would, in a big, significant amount, would churn. So analyzing the past, we saw that almost one-third, up to 25% of the churn, was coming from customers that have been acquired in the last 2 years. So a year ago, in February, March last year, we took the decision of stopping giving 1 year heavy promotions. So right now, after March last year, all customers coming in were not on a one-year heavy promotion. We're coming in at the price that we had agreed with the customer. Yes, with 2 or 3 months for free, but that's different because they don't see an increase in the bill. It's just I get 2 or 3 months for free and then I get the bill as it is. So, and that's what's taking away pressure from churn. So right now we're starting to benefit not only from Wi-Fi on the street, not only from TV functionality, but that churn, let's say that natural churn that was coming from an aggressive commercial policy that is standard in the industry, that we took the, let's say, the brave decision to change, is proving sustainable. We're acquiring 20% more customers than we were when we had those promotions, and then churn is proving that it's going down. So that is the base for our cautious, optimistic net adds looking forward. Your question about EBITDA numbers, they're totally right, but the number that we give and the number that we show is always the base. I mean, so you're almost answering your question is that's the base, so it will be over that number, yes.
So is there, let's say, a cautious forecast, the one that you're giving us?
It's a prudent and reasonable forecast, yes.
Okay, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This now concludes this conference call. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.